the Happy Afloat podcast, tales of family adventures at sea.
Hello and welcome aboard. Make yourself at home. I am Jason, skipper of Happy Float. Meet my motley crew. Conrad?
Ahoy there, shipmates.
Leon?
Hello.
And my beautiful wife, Sarah.
Hello. If you are new to the podcast, then welcome.
But don't start here.
If you want to follow this sailing adventure from the beginning, start at episode 13, which is part one of the story.
If you are interested in the whys and hows of family sailing, jump into the time machine and fire up episode 2 of Why Go Family Sailing.
For old hands, here we go.
In this episode,
we finally make it to Scottish waters.
We get chased by the fog.
And we complete our longest passage yet.
More tales from our summer adventure.
Last time, we had just departed Hartlepool on a passage to Peterhead.
We had 170 nautical miles to go,
which, according to our planning, should take around 30 hours.
Our course was due north and the sky was grey.
The wind was blowing from the north. The forecast suggested that the wind would shift to the southeast, but the winds would be light.
We are motoring yet again.
A few hours into the trip, we spotted a yacht in the distance, a mile or so to starboard.
They were on AIS, so we could see that their track would eventually cross our path.
We were a little bit jealous as they were sailing,
heading westward towards the land on a beam reach.
The yacht passed just ahead of us at a waving distance. We waved.
The classic lines of the yacht looked familiar, but we just could not place the make or model.
The yacht disappeared off AIS. It looked like they had gone into Sunderland, which was 5 nautical miles away.
We motored onwards. Motoring on a sailboat is extremely dull.
On the plus side, the exhaust temperature alarm issue appeared to be fixed and was reading a steady 33 degrees Celsius.
The highlight of the morning was dolphins jumping and backflipping, but they were in the distance and hard to see without binoculars unless you have young eyes.
What are they?
Well, I thought it had quite a tall fin on it, tall skinny fin.
That's what you're trying to identify.
Do you think it was dolphin or whale?
Well, that's what I'm not sure about.
See
it now. It's going in the same direction as us. I saw one.
Dad said he saw 3, I think.
Jumping.
Splash.
What's
this?
Splash.
I see it.
You don't
need binoculars to see that.
Jumping out the water.
That's made my day.
That was a real good old jump, wasn't it? Whoa!
Jumping out backwards.
That's hilarious!
Awesome! Write that in the log. Amongst other things, I should probably write in the log as well.
With everyone keen to get a good look at the dolphins, there was the inevitable fight over the binoculars, especially as we discovered the backup binos were a bit poorly.
Poorly as in broken.
Sarah, you're the accountant. Explain our new theory of binomics.
I don't actually know what I'm supposed to explain.
Don't you remember our binomics conversation?
No, I have no recollection.
Because our backup pair of binoculars were a special offer from Lidl Aldi. That's 20 quid. Was it Lidl? Which one? Lidl?
It was Lidl.
Lidl for 20 quid. And they lasted how many years?
We bought them on Caritas. So we bought them on the 2018 adventure. So they'd lasted 3 years.
Before they'd
died.
So we worked out that it was costing us, what, £7 a year?
Yeah.
Whereas our new binoculars, which cost £210,
yeah,
would need to last 30 years to be as good value as.
But they are slightly better quality.
Yes, they are.
In terms of you can
quality.
See better through them. But actually, yeah, for £7 a year, they're an absolute steal, weren't they?
That's the theory, anyway. That's the binomics theory.
I would buy them again. When they come on to offer again, I'll
yeah, and maybe
bit.
Not leave them out in the rain because they're not waterproof or no. watertight. The Lidl Aldi ones are water soluble, so.
Water soluble? They dissolve when they get wet. The eyepieces fell off, didn't they? Well, the eyepiece fell
off.
Yeah,
if they get wet, they just basically dissolve.
Pointless.
So you need to keep them dry. The second highlight of the morning was coffee and cake.
Frothy coffee is a daily ritual on our boat for the adults.
On long passages, it's the regular meals punctuated with snacks that helps to give some sort of routine to the day.
Especially when you have growing boys whose main concerns are screen time and their next meal.
After lunch, the sun came out.
When was the last time we saw the sun?
Did we see it when we were in Walton?
I know.
It seems like a long time ago.
Didn't see it in Walton.
We see it somewhere in Suffolk. I think it came out briefly, fleetingly. Probably the day we left Chatham, wasn't it?
That's the reason we had to go into the marina, because there was no sun to charge up the back.
Yeah, I think probably when we were in Chatham, actually. It was a nice day when we left Chatham.
Yes.
And that was probably the last nice day.
Although it seemed ages since we had last seen the sun, we had enjoyed a few hours of it 5 days ago when we were leaving Harwich.
The wind had shifted further east and we were able to sail.
We took the opportunity to trail a trolling line for fishing.
It's got three spinners on the end. It's out there somewhere. So can you keep a light eye up? Apparently when it gets a bite, it should pop to the surface. We should see a fish on the surface.
When are we ever going to get a bite? Never.
Never? Never say never.
We haven't been very successful with our trolling fishing attempts, but it passes the time on passage.
The Farne Islands were now in sight.
They were on the list of places we would like to stop at.
But we had only a short weather window this time.
Although the wind would be fine to stay the night at the Farne Islands, the northerly winds would be returning soon, and we needed to make as much progress north as we could.
Maybe we could stop at the Farne Islands on the way back.
The wind shifted to the southeast and was too light to fill our sails. The engine went back on.
We slightly regretted the fact that we'd sold and not replaced our cruising chute earlier in the season.
At 9:30 p.m, we decided that we must definitely now be in Scottish waters.
Time to raise the Scottish courtesy flag.
We're in Scotland. Put the flag up.
Did I tie it up right?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Is it flying?
Not really. There's not enough wind for it up there.
Oh, here we go.
There you go. Now it's flying.
Welcome to Scotland.
Woohoo!
Comrade.
Yeah?
How do you feel about coming to Scotland?
It's sunset. Our welcoming party should be here by now.
What are the main differences you've noticed from stepping across from England into Scotland? Any differences you can spot at the moment? I say stepping, sailing.
Or even motoring.
First off, it feels colder. Second off, the pattern in the clouds looks like it's marking the border. Look, over there, the way it marks the border. And then, lastly, often noticeable differences, that I feel as if there should be a dolphin here.
Probably is somewhere. You just have to look out for it.
The further north you head, the longer the daylight hours last. The sunset was at 10 p.m.
The big advantage of summer night sails in Scotland is the nights are not very long.
I took the first watch until Sarah swapped with me at 1 a.m.
The boys had gone straight to bed. Goody box sweet supplies and all had already been consumed, so there was not much to keep them entertained in the wee hours of the morning. On my watch, the sky never really got dark, and by 4 a.m. the sun was rising again. I do love a night watch on many levels. The peace and quiet while everyone is asleep, the chance to listen to my MP3, and the best bit is sailing all on my own.
We were now doing 4-hour watches through the night and early morning.
Although the watches were longer, the extra time off watch helped in catching up on much needed sleep.
We find that it takes a while to nod off after a watch, and the extra bunk time helps.
And being well rested, or at least slightly ahead of the tiredness, would help with the next decision.
We digested the latest weather forecast.
The wind would be changing back to a northerly direction in 24 hours.
We were 4 hours away from Peterhead. If we stopped at Peterhead, we would be stuck there for at least 2 days before we could press onwards.
Should we stop at Peterhead or carry on? We still didn't know if there was any room for us at Peterhead anyway.
And the only real reason to stop at Peterhead was to break up the journey and rest our weary heads.
Maybe we could carry on before the weather turned again.
The morning was beautiful, no wind, but it was sunny. The water was clear and you could spot the odd jellyfish below the surface.
There was, however, plenty of pot markers in the distance, so we asked for a volunteer to sit on the bow seat as a lookout.
Do you need a hat up there?
No.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Now the pots around here seem to be white. A little pickup boy.
What, like those?
Pots or the gannets?
Pots. All the gannets are in flight because they only land to dive bomb their prey. Could we go to St Kilda this year?
St Kilda? Well, we can try. Yeah. Right here at the right time.
It's a good 40 miles and you can only land if the wind's in the right direction and the seas can get very rough.
Why do you want to go to St Kilda?
Because why not? Shouldn't you steer away from that marker?
We'll get a bit closer to it. See which way the tide's taking us. Whether or not we're going to run over it. I think the owner of it is that fishing boat over there.
Yeah.
Better not run into it, otherwise we'll probably rush over here and want us to get our wallets out. How much money have you brought?
Nothing.
Oh, what about those ones there? Are they pots?
Those are birds.
Are they?
They're too close to be pots.
Okay. 9 o'clock. Keep watching. I'm pretty certain he's heading this way. Oh, was that a false alarm? My old eyes must be playing tricks on me.
Whoa. Mum, there's something at 11.
It was another false alarm.
By lunchtime, Peterhead was in sight. It was decision-making time.
We contacted the harbour master and let him know that we would be taking advantage of the good weather to carry on.
He wished us good luck and to make the most of the good weather.
The new plan was to head to Clackmharry, the start of the seemingly unpronounceable Scottish place names, which was the sea locker to Inverness, so we could enter and transit the Caledonian Canal.
And get to our summer cruising grounds. The west coast of Scotland.
We had another 100 nautical miles and another 24 hours at sea.
This decision would turn the trip into our longest passage yet, both in distance and time.
The Clackmharry Sea Lock is tidal, only operating during office hours, excluding lunchtimes, and only when there is sufficient water.
We would need to take the last of the tide into the Moray Firth to reach the sea lock. So would be arriving at high water around 1 p.m. the following day.
We had plenty of time to get to Inverness, But did we have the fuel?
Not this dilemma again.
We'd been motoring for 30 hours, but we still had half a tank left. We were quickly becoming excellent fuel calculation specialists.
The tide had not been very strong so far, and we'd been kind with the engine revs.
Once we turned the corner at the formidable Rattray Head, we would be heading west to Inverness.
The wind should then be more favourable for sailing.
Anyway, speed wasn't of the essence now. We could just drift on the tide towards our destination.
Only turning on the engine if we started going backwards.
First, we had to make it around Rattray Head. Here, the tides are strong, and we still had a couple of hours of tide against us.
One of the selling points for pressing on was the sea was flat and calm.
We've been round Rattray Head in a wind over tide situation in the past. It was no fun at all.
Well, no fun for the adults, but the boys loved the roller coaster like ride.
We were now motoring at 7 knots through the water, but our speed over ground was only 3 knots. It was slow progress.
There are a lot of pot markers in this area, but you need very sharp eyes to see them.
The strong tide drags the boys just under the surface, so you tend to spot them when you are almost on top of them.
Everyone was on lookout duty.
Then it started to get foggy very quickly.
It had been a pleasant sunny day. Then, from nowhere, everything disappeared in fog.
Peterhead had completely disappeared. The pilot boat and ships heading into the harbour vanished.
Ahead of us, the viz was good, but the fog was trying to engulf us from behind and closing fast.
I put the radar on.
And we increased the engine revs in an attempt to stay ahead of the fog.
The fog was now just 50 metres behind us.
And that's where the fog stayed for the next hour, following us just behind, but never quite catching us.
As we rounded Rattray Head, the fog just gave up the chase and we pulled away.
The tide was now a lot weaker and it would be in our favour soon.
Time to get the sails out. We pulled out the headsail for the first time on Happy Afloat. It's a good job it wasn't windy, as it took us ages to get the rig sorted.
We drifted on the light breeze. Our speed was 3-ish knots, occasionally 5 when a gentle gust came through.
The coastline of the Moray Firth is littered with old fishing harbours, and there were plenty of little fishing boats out.
There was also a lot of wildlife in the form of seals and many seabirds.
That one's about to die.
Whoa!
What else that... getting at was when they glide and then look down slow and go really slowly, that means they're about to dive bomb it.
Gannets are just awesome.
What?
Slow to them.
As the sun set, the birds formed large floating rafts and argued with each other.
And the birds complained at us as we drifted by.
If you enjoyed that audio clip of sails, sea and birds, there'll be an extended version at the end of the podcast, after the outro music.
By 2 a.m, the wind had died and we were drifting.
Punching tide, so we were actually going backwards.
Time to start the engine, with just enough revs to make a little progress.
We furled the headsail but left the main up, just in case the wind returned.
As dawn broke, a boat popped up on AIS, a few miles behind us. The name looked familiar.
We hadn't seen much in the way of other sailboats for the last 2 days.
Eventually, the yacht caught up with us.
The boat looked familiar, in a déjà vu sense.
On closer inspection, it was the yacht we had seen at the start of this passage.
On even closer inspection, We noted it was a boat built by rival yachts.
Which got us excited, as our first boat was a rival.
We debated whether it was a rival 36 or a 38, comparing the number, shape and style of windows.
There was only one way to definitely find out.
They are now passing us and within shouting distance.
I shouted.
It was a rival 38, just like our first boat.
Embarrassingly for us, they were sailing.
Oh, the shame!
There was no way we could let a boat sail past us without a race.
Jason's very competitive. So the engine went off and the headsail came out.
We pulled ahead, quickly leaving them in our wake.
Once we had convincingly beaten our rival, the rival, we were on the home run towards Inverness and the Caledonian Canal.
The wind shifted to be on the nose. More motor sailing.
A couple more yachts appeared, all heading in the same direction towards Inverness. It's always reassuring when other sailors appear to have the same plan as you.
Along the way, we passed Channery Point, opposite Fort George, where local dolphins are a regular feature.
The beach is littered with humans watching out for dolphins.
A big attraction as the dolphins swim very close to the beach due to the deep water close to the shore.
Fortunately, the dolphins timed their presence perfectly and appeared just as we were passing.
Guys, you want to see dolphins? You need to come up. There's a whole crowd of people on the beach. I can see some splashes in the water.
Dad thinks he can see dolphins.
There's a massive crowd on the beach.
Ooh. Right, so can you see a lighthouse sort of just to the left, about 11 o'clock? The end of the beach. Yeah, that's where all the people stand to watch the dolphins. They stand there. So
there must be at least 100 people there already.
Is it?
Is that a seal?
Yeah, that's a seal.
Yeah, go on, cut the frog. Right there, right in front of us.
Thank you.
Behind us now.
Up there. Oh yeah.
How exciting.
I think when we came through here last time, we just saw one little pod. Yay, look! The hills and mountains of Scotland at last. 1 o'clock, there's something. There are two. Quite big, actually.
And another one.
Whoa! I saw its tail.
You know what sort they are?
No.
They're right up in the shore. Look at that.
Look,
they're literally just off the beach.
Dolphins done. We needed to contact Clacknaherry to let them know of our impending arrival.
They did not have good news. The lock gates weren't working.
The gates had broken the day before, and the waiting boats had been sent to the neighbouring Inverness Marina while the gates were fixed.
They hoped to get the gates working later today.
We decided to anchor outside the lock and wait.
Our longest passage to date had been completed. 56 hours covering 274 nautical miles.
Wow.
We had been in Scottish waters for over 36 hours. Would we finally get to set foot on Scottish soil?
Would the gate be operational while we had enough water to lock in?
And would there be space for us in the lock? We were, after all, at the back of the queue.
But that is a story for another time. Right, guys, any other thoughts about this trip?
Why did I have to be the one that has to say all the unpronounceable names?
She's so good at them.
But you can actually pronounce them.
Oh, well, I wouldn't be too sure of that.
Well, the thing is, we do know how to pronounce Clacknaherry because we've heard it enough times on the radio. It's just all the other Scottish names.
It was good to get to Scotland.
Finally.
Finally. And to do our longest passage. It was tiring, but it was good. It wasn't as tiring as the trip to Hartlepool.
It was quite relaxing, actually.
In the grand scheme of things.
Leon.
Yes.
The night passage where there was all the seabirds and it eventually got dark. Do you remember what we heard?
No.
we heard a very big puff of air that wasn't a dolphin, but something much bigger. And I got you up and said, I didn't see it, but I said, I thought I heard a whale. And what was your reply? I'm so hungry I could eat a whale.
Did you really?
Anyway, the most important mystery that got only recently solved when we were working back through the logbooks and piecing things together is, where on earth had that rival been, and how did he manage to catch us up if he'd gone to Sunderland?
That's bugged you, hasn't it?
It has. And of course, the answer is, his AIS was only broadcasting about a mile, which is why he managed to keep disappearing and then snuck up on us. Because there's only one who's in a mile distance, he would appear on AIS. As soon as he went beyond a mile or two, he disappeared, and he never went into Sunderland. He must have just gone inshore, put his engine on, was motoring.
Do you want to share, like, how many hours you've spent working on this? Because it's bugged you so much.
About, what, 6 months? We can now talk about our first boat. I don't think we've even mentioned it on the podcast. Our first boat was a Rival 38 centre cockpit.
Mm.
Well, look, there's lots of Rival 38s made.
Most of them are aft cockpit, weren't they?
But only 8 of them were ever centre cockpit. So they're as rare as, what's our favourite phrase? It's usually hen's teeth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible.
Why?
Because of the fact they'll never get teeth.
That's why they're rare, because they don't have teeth.
Anyway, so it's a Rival 38. And it was, yes, it was a very slow boat, that Rival 38, because it had a ridiculous retrofitted in-mast furling bolted onto it.
It was a comfortable sail, though. It was a slow but comfortable sail.
Yes.
Jason's not very enthralled.
Thank you for sticking us in your ears.
We love feedback.
A big thank you to everyone who has posted a review or sent us a message.
It really makes our day to know you are enjoying our tales.
Thank you.
But we are hungry for more.
If you have any questions, then send an email or a posting on Facebook. All relevant links are on the website, happyafloat.com.
If you'd like to help us grow, spread the word. As my granddad says, it's nice to share.
If you know someone who would enjoy the podcast, direct them to our website, happyafloat.com.
From our website, they can listen to the podcast. Sharing is caring.
And don't forget to follow and review and rate us in your favourite podcast app.
A review on Apple Podcasts would be most welcome.
Happyafloat.com.
Next time aboard Happy Afloat.
Will we make it into the Caledonian Canal?
Spoiler alert, we do.
Until next time, happy sailing.
And don't forget, after the music, there will be an extended immersive 3D sound experience. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Station, this is Aberdeen Coast Guard. For the Maritime Safety Information Broadcast, stand by now, Channel 63. Channel 63, this is Aberdeen Coast Guard. This is Aberdeen Coast Guard. For the Maritime Safety Information Broadcast, stand by now at Channel